Well, I have invited a friend to come and join us this morning. His name is Daniel Markham. He is currently serving as the Church Partnerships Director at Everett Gospel Mission. But the best I can tell is he's simply an answer to Jesus' prayer in John 17. When Jesus prayed to the Father that the church would be one, as Jesus and the Father were one. And that was a purposeful prayer about unity that had to do with the world understanding who it was that Jesus came from, the Father, to deeply declare to the world that the Father loves the world. When we have unity, those are the things that get unlocked, that people start to get the love of God, that He's not out to count our sins against us, right? He's there to set us free from our sins, but not count our sins against us. And that's something that He came to help us understand. Now, Daniel, being an answer to that prayer, is the church partnerships coordinator for many, many, many congregations across Snohomish County. And he comes to the leaders of the congregations and says, we can do better together than we can apart from one another. And so Daniel has a long history of all sorts of really great things that just make me want to spend more time with him. We've had the opportunity to meet over the last 3 months on a few occasions. And when I met him, I just knew that I had to introduce you to him as a reminder that we are not about ourselves, this congregation here. We are about the work of the kingdom of heaven in Snohomish County at this season and time. But Daniel is a church planter. He is a pastor. He's a writer. He's a creative thinker. He stars on a reality show. He just got back from filming 3 weeks in Hawaii, having great conversations of faith with Protestant leaders, with Catholic leaders, with other leaders, but talking about the value of family, the value of being together, the value of loving Jesus and spreading His word. So with no further ado, I'd like to invite Daniel Markham to come and share with us this morning out of the book of Ephesians.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, maybe somebody from the sound or music could set this stand mic up for me, since I can't walk and chew gum at the same time, which means I can't handle my sermon notes and a handheld mic at the same time. So you don't know what you're getting yourself into, do you? Okay. Thank you very much. Well, thank you. There we go. Excellent. I'll pull the stand up a little bit. I'm the short guy. There we are. I have bifocals as well as being short. So there are all kinds of issues, right? Oh, my gosh. What is going on here? Well, yeah, thank you very much. A fat boy, as a matter of fact. Did you say Harley? Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. Don't worry. Fat boy is a type of a bike, so I'm not picking on anybody. All right. Well, I just have some things I want to unpack my heart just for a moment before I get into sort of the thrust of my message this morning. Just to reflect a little bit. You know, this is a great place to be. This is a great place to be. Sometimes you need somebody from the outside to come in and tell you that, because you're on the inside and all you see is what you see, right? But God has blessed me with context. In the past, I've served in senior leadership on a number of national, international ministries, Food for the Poor, Johnny and Friends. If any of you know of Johnny Erickson Tada, some of us who are older know of Johnny Erickson Tada, Johnny and Friends, Life Without Limbs, Nick Vujicic, if you may have heard of him, a guy with no arms or legs, it's an evangelist, and now the Everett Gospel Mission. So I have the context of Big C Church, right? Not just local church, but Big C. I've been blessed to be and minister probably, I don't know, several hundred churches. I'm an old guy, so it accumulates after a while. So I have this wonderful context of coming to a place like South Everett Foursquare and getting to know your pastor and his heart, which interests me more than the head of any pastor. I'm always interested in their heart. And then to be with the worship team this morning and praying together, you know, this is just a good place to be. And the worship set this morning, thank you, that was so sweet. That was so intimate with Jesus. watching you as a fellowship of folks that obviously are worshipers. You like to worship. I'm an observer too, right? Then watching your pastor, as I did when I was pastoring a flock. Now I just minister primarily to pastors and their wives and their families and their churches across the county. But watching his heart as he's, you know, watches a little child come in. You know, I'm an observer, like I said. Sorry, I was watching. I was speaking. And seeing his heart for you all and walking back, giving somebody a hug and just seeing who's here. You know, the shepherd wants to know how his sheep are doing. He wants to know the state of his sheep individually and corporately. So this is a very good place to be. And it's a healthy place to be. And it's a very good place to be physically where you're at, as I get into the message, as you will see, because you're in a place of tremendous need. God has planted you in a community of tremendous need. And that's right where God wants the church. Johnny Erickson Tejada would often say, if it isn't messy, it's not ministry. You know, you got to mix it up. You got to get the gospel and just mix it up with a lot of stuff that's going on in the community and a lot of need, right? And so if it's not messy, it's not ministry. So get in there. I just so excited for you as a church and a congregation. So again, as I have this great view of the church, I call it more of a kingdom view. We'll get in a little bit about explaining what the kingdom of God is, not versus the church, but as something larger than something that encompasses the church, both the individual church, the individual believer, and the church of Snohomish County. You know, when Paul wrote his letters to churches, it was the church of the city of Ephesus. There were individual congregations that met. They didn't have a lot of meeting places. In fact, they were mostly persecuted, so they were meeting as churches in homes. But when he wrote a letter, he wrote to the church of Ephesus, right? That was the whole city. And so it's good for us to see that we are part of the larger church of Snohomish County, the larger church of Everett. But even larger than that is the kingdom of God. That's kind of God's view, of the world. And the kingdom is wherever Christ, his influence and his word and his power has play. Influence. That's the kingdom. And we're all involved in this kingdom. So it's good to see us as an individual congregation in context of the larger church of Snohomish County, of the universal church of the world, right? And of the kingdom of God. Okay, so that kind of sets the stage. But first, and now I'm going to have a little bit of fun with you. I'm going to be a little whimsical. Amongst other things that the Lord has blessed me and let me do and have fun with. It is fun to serve Jesus, by the way. You know, I mean, it's great fun. I mean, sometimes it's really hard, too, but it's also great fun. So I have this little radio show I do called Man Up. That's a little two-minute segment that's broadcast on primarily EWTN, but it's been used some other places. So I'm going to get into character of Man Up, which is Daniel the Boone Markham. Okay, I'm going to get in character a minute because I thought about this last night. This particular radio segment, they're only two-minute segments, really plays into the message because we're going to talk about the church is here to equip you for works of service, Ephesians 4. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, to what? To equip the saints for the work of service. And so that's what a large part of what we're about and what the church is about, right? So I'm going to talk a little bit about works in my little Man Up segment this morning. This is Daniel the Boone Markham with another episode of Man Up. Good folks had reason to visit Western Tennessee and North Carolina a few days back. Tennessee and North Carolina are two of my most favorite places to visit, and not because of the beauty of the scenery. Nope, it's because of the folks that live there. Down-to-earth folks, whose smiles and thank yous are genuine. A place where people give you the right-of-way on the road, and who are, for the most part, just plain good folks. Seems to me that for a lot of us, the term good has gone down in value. With a world full of highfalutin, overblown superlatives, and the overuse of words like wow, great, awesome, fantastic, amazing, good has somehow lost its glow. Seems good works in some circles have gotten a bad rap. Yet it was Jesus who said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Perhaps Jesus and his church have gotten a bad rap because we've fallen down on being good folks and doing good works in God's name. While we're a bit embarrassed to talk about doing good works for rewards, Jesus isn't. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, "Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I'll give to each person according to what they have done." While we can't get a ticket to heaven on good works alone, good works do glorify God. Help others, draw people to Jesus, and give a good name to Christ in the church. So get to good works for goodness sake. This is Daniel LeBoon Markham coming to you a few miles this side of heaven. Okay, that's that little cowboy yarn wrapped around a biblical truth, all right? But it has application to our message about being equipped for works of service with the body of Christ large, the church of Snohomish County, together. And I get, as I said, to be able to see that picture like most people don't get to see. So, thy kingdom come, a kingdom view of the church of Snohomish County. It is heaven's view of the church of Snohomish County. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, when he told us how to pray, part of that prayer that we read in Matthew 6, 9 through 13 is, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." So what does that look like? Well, now don't be put off by theology, but we'll talk just a moment about it a little bit. Theology is a good word, by the way. It means ology, the study of theo, God. Now, God's pretty interesting, wouldn't you say? So studying God's pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty fun. I mean, it's very, very awe-inspiring many times. So kingdom is really, again, wherever the king's dome, wherever he has influence, right? So thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Dr. D.A. Carson of Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, that's a mouthful, said this: "God's will is being done without being contested in heaven, and there will come a time in the new heaven and the new earth when it will not be contested anymore. But right now it is being contested on earth, even though Christ is reigning, even though God's sovereignty is not removed. There is a sense in which it is still being contested, and therefore we pray, your kingdom come." The scripture teaches us that God has placed we read in Ephesians 1, 20 and following, God has placed all things under his feet, under the feet of Jesus. He has dominion over everything, right? He has control. He's sovereign. But we read in Hebrews 2 and verse 8 that, now we see not yet all things are put under his feet or put under him. So, positionally, Christ is over the whole world. He's over the world as we know it and understand it. But when it comes to humankind, God did a very interesting thing in the garden, didn't he? He gave humans free will. Now, that can go two ways, as we know. It can go in obedience to God or disobedience to God. Now, in the garden, it kind of blew it, right? And mankind has been kind of blowing it ever since, for the most part. Now, the church is trying to get it right. God is using the church to try to get that right. But nonetheless, everything is not under his feet. So he has called us to be kingdom builders in this realm, in that realm of humankind, where free moral agency is at work. He's using us to bring things into order under Christ's kingship. And we do that how? Well, we do it by preaching the gospel, of course, right? We do it by good works and good deeds, right? Because they glorify our Father and draw people to Jesus, right? There's all kinds of ways that we are called to build his kingdom. You might be working with, some folks are working with the children right now, right? They're building the kingdom. They're a kingdom builder. Somebody else may be working sound. They're a kingdom builder. Everything we do for Christ is building his kingdom. But also, every place we go, whether it's our homes or our job or walking down the street to have a hamburger, we are the presence, if you will, because the scripture says that everyone who is born again is a member of the kingdom of God. John 3, we'll be there in a few minutes. Sorry about all the... I warned the gentleman that's doing my slides today that sometimes I just kind of take off and the slides are just kind of like, oh, well, you know, it'll all work out in the end. So we're, in a sense, Christians, aren't we? We're little Christs. We're Christians. We're Christians. We're little anointed ones, as the scripture would say. Christ meaning anointed one or Messiah, right? So we're taking that power, that presence, and wherever we behave and live and love like Jesus, now the kingdom of God is being built. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing to be a part of that, right? We've been given the gift of the kingdom, the king himself within us. Wow. So the kingdom encompasses the local church, the church of Snohomish County, and the universal church. All of that. But it is through the local church that kingdom citizens are instructed, equipped, and sent into each community and the world at large. So the church is part of the kingdom. The kingdom is bigger than the church. But the church is the institution God has called to expand his kingdom influence throughout the world by equipping us for the works of service, or work of the ministry, as the King James translates it in Ephesians 4. The heart of Jesus' teaching and life centers around the theme of the kingdom of God. This expression is found in 61 separate sayings in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Counting parallels to these passages, this expression occurs over 85 times. In Matthew, Matthew says the kingdom of heaven rather than the kingdom of God. But it's the same concept. It's the same thing, where heaven's influence, where the king's influence has impact upon earth. Now, John 3, verses 5 are very instructive. I just alluded to that particular passage, where Jesus said, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And he went on to say, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit," speaking of the transformation of the heart and the giving of the will through water baptism to Christ and his kingdom. So all members of local churches who are born again are members of the kingdom of God, and jointly so with all other people who are born again in the city of Everett, in the county of Snohomish County, in the state of Washington, in the United States, and the world, right? Okay. Amen. So at the very start of his ministry, Jesus announces the kingdom. He said in Matthew 4, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near you," or has come near. And then when he calls his disciples, he says in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Now, the kingdom is realized through two primary means, character and calling. The kingdom is realized through character and calling. Who we become in Jesus, hopefully becoming like Jesus, and calling. He has called us each to be kingdom influencers as we mature and become like Christ individually and corporately as a church, right? Then we are also called to be equipped and trained to go out and expand the kingdom. So the kingdom is realized through character and calling. So let's talk about character first. The kingdom is about character, Christ-likeness. As citizens of the kingdom, we are called to be like the king, to live and love like the king. So how did Jesus do it? Well, he went out, and we just read that. He went out and preached the gospel of the kingdom. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He did all kinds of marvelous things, right? As Paul exhorted in Ephesians chapter 5, he said this, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." So we're to imitate the king, right? The kingdom is about character, first of all. What we allow Christ to do in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, in our church, that we come into full maturity that Ephesians 4 talks about. We'll be there in a minute in Ephesians 4. So Paul exhorts the church, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. So we have kind of this model in Jesus as far as character. Be imitators of God. Love just like Jesus. Give yourself up for others. Make yourself an offering and a sacrifice to God. That's Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, by the way. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, if anybody's taking notes. So what does a kingdom person do, and what do citizens of the kingdom look like and act like? How do we recognize them? Well, we have kind of a peek at that in Romans chapter 14, verses 17 and 18. Romans 14, 17 and 18. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by them. So, what does a kingdom person look like? Well, he or she is a person of the Spirit. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. And he was talking about religious things here. It's not a matter of doing religious things about what I eat or what I don't eat or what day I go to church or what day I don't go to church. There was some argument going on about who are the, you know, the better Christians, right? Not that we would ever do that in the body of Christ, right? Okay. So Paul is making a point. The Holy Spirit's making a point here that religion, church, spirituality is not a matter of religious outward acts necessarily. They can be good. We just went through worship. That was outward, right? That was good because something inward was going on in the spirit, right? But the kingdom is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we recognize a kingdom person, the character of a kingdom person, by how much they allow the Holy Spirit to work in their lives and transform them. In Galatians 5:22 and following, we read, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, temperance or self-control. Against such there is no law, right? So we can see what a kingdom person is to look like and behave like and become like. Become like Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform us into his image and likeness, right? Okay. So we also get peeks at kingdom character if we study the Beatitudes. Now the kingdom of heaven is used throughout the Sermon on the Mount. And the Beatitudes, right? And I think you were through the Beatitudes recently, if I recall right from your pastor, or you had some instruction on that. So that's about character again. It's about what do kingdom people look like? They're people of character, of Christ-like character. But the kingdom is not only about character, but also about calling. So there's character and calling. Who we are to become and what we are to do, right? Okay, who we are to become, like Jesus, and what we are to do. Now, the apostles are commissioned to, were commissioned to spread the kingdom of God. In Matthew 10, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. As you go, he said, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. So we see how we get a peek of how we're supposed to act and look, right? We're healers. We drive out impurity in people's lives. And we preach the kingdom of heaven has come near. We tell people, would you like heaven to invade your heart? Would you like heaven to invade your family? Would you like heaven to invade your community? We can tell you how to do that as kingdom builders. In Matthew 28, in relation to Matthew 10, which we just read, Jesus said this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching, watch now, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So he said to the 12 and the 70 and probably more there, probably the 120 at least, he's saying, go and preach the gospel to all nations, but do it just like I told you how to do it. When you teach them, do it like I did it, and do it like I told you to do it. And how did he tell them to do it in Matthew 10? He gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness and to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. It's the same gospel. It's the same kingdom. But how does that get done today? That'd be the next question. How does that work out? How do we make that happen? Well, theologian R.C. Sproul wrote, quote, John Calvin said it is the task of the church to make the invisible kingdom visible. It's the task of the church to make the invisible kingdom visible. We do that by living in such a way. We do that by living in such a way that we bear witness to the reality of the kingship of Christ in our jobs, our families, our schools, and even our checkbooks. Because God in Christ is king over every one of these spheres of life. The only way the kingdom of God is going to be manifest in this world before Christ comes is if we manifest it by the way we live as citizens of heaven and subjects of the king. Well said, John Calvin. We are to be discipled to be like the king and to minister like the king. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. How does it get done? Well, we get instructions, don't we? Besides Matthew 28, Jesus tells us how this really works out. How do people get prepared to be kingdom workers, to be kingdom builders with other believers throughout the county, throughout the country, and throughout the world? How does that work? It happens in the local church. It happens through the local church. So Ephesians 4:11. So Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for what? To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So out of this equipping and training should come maturity in Christ, in other words, character, right? And we should reach unity of the faith. You know, it's interesting when I observe churches that have considerably different doctrines, right? No surprise there. When they decide to work together for the kingdom, those doctrines tend to go by the wayside and they become real brothers and sisters in Christ. They do works of service together. I get to see that every day at the mission. As churches come in, believers from all different churches come and serve. And I watch them, and pretty soon, you wouldn't know there was a Baptist from a Pentecostal, from a Free Methodist, to you name it. You wouldn't know that. Because now they have begun to labor in the kingdom of God together, hand in hand. You know, it's like when you go and build a house with somebody, you're helping out maybe a neighbor. That's how you become a true neighbor, isn't it? It's by doing stuff together. It's by building stuff together. So we all, as born-again believers, together are called to become like Christ as his awesome witness to the world, as kingdom workers or kingdom builders in word and in works of service. That's why we're equipped and trained. So how does that look in your community? How does that look in our community? What does that look like? Well, I can give you a little peek, a little view from my balcony in working with churches across the county. That word, by the way, that phrase, works of service, is ergo diakonia in the Greek. And it means energy or efforts of service or labor. So where we get the word deacon or deaconess from. And how did the early church do that? What was the primary responsibility of the first deacons? Yeah, it was to serve the poor, wasn't it? It was together to go out and serve the poor. And it's interesting that from the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, all the way through the book of Revelation, as I say, from Kever to Kever, all the way through the early church, all the way through the Middle Ages, all the way through the Reformation, and the last, what we've seen, an incredible expansion of the gospel around the world, through all of that, certain things remain constant, and one of those certain things is ministry to the poor and people who are homeless. It's constant. And it was so central to the church in the early church, the first three centuries, it became the mark of the church. It became the distinctive mark of the church. And let me suggest, the other reason why you're in a very good place as a church, because you're in a place to serve those who are affected by poverty and homelessness. You're in a very good place because today's society, and by that I mean those who don't know Christ, are not unlike non-believers throughout the centuries. They're looking to see Christianity. They're looking to see the kingdom working. They're looking to see how it is we serve and love others. How we love each other as a body of Christ, whether Baptist or Pentecostal, whoever we are. How are we living and loving one another? And how are we living and loving those most in need in our culture today? We're told that millennials are all about authenticity. And I like that. Because they're sitting back and going, I'll believe it when I see it. When I see Christianity really working, then I'm interested. I want to see that you're real about your faith, that you live your faith out. Not only do you live and love like Jesus, but you act like Jesus. You do the things that Jesus would do, right? The most passionate call to evangelism in the New Testament, in my opinion, is Luke 14:12-24. And that's a parable of the great banquet feast. And a shameless ad, it's about what my last book was about, called Contagious Love, to go out and compel the poor and disabled to come into God's church, God's house, so that God's house may be full. You may have all the seats full, but if you're not serving the poor and those affected by disability, you're not full as a church. You're not full as a congregation. And that is what our culture and society is looking for, right? So the mark of the distinctive witness of the church in the first three centuries was their love for one another and their sacrificial love and service to the poor, the sick, and all who were needy. The Roman Emperor Julian said this. It's very interesting. Julian was Emperor of Rome in the 360s. He had an interesting complaint about Christians. He said this, the impious Galileans, meaning Christians, they were called Galileans by the Romans. The impious Galileans support not only their own poor, but ours as well. Everyone can see that our people lack aid from us. So from the world perspective, they were looking and going, there's something different about those Christian people, those Galileans, those Christians. Huh? And that's a mark of distinction of the church. The theologian Tertullian, he was about 150 to 250 A.D., great teacher, early teacher of the church. He said, it is our care of the helpless, our practice of loving kindness that brands us in the eyes of many of our opponents. Only look, they say, look how they love one another. Wow. That's what we want the world to say about us. Because when they say see us living and loving like Jesus, living and loving the entire body of Christ, all believers who are born again, and even those who are not, even those who are in churches who are not, they need to be loved into the kingdom as well, right? Yeah. During the time of the great plagues, Christians were known for coming into cities and to help the dying rather than fleeing from the cities like all the others were doing to save their lives. The early Saint Dionysius of Alexandria in 265 wrote this, most of our brother Christians showed unbounded love and loyalty, never sparing themselves and thinking only of one another. Heedless of the danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ. And with them departed this life serenely happy. For they were infected by others with a disease, drawing on themselves the sickness of their neighbors and cheerfully accepting their pains. Many in nursing and curing others transferred their death to themselves and died in their stead. Whoa. There's witness. There's the kingdom. There's the church coming together. Well, I'd like to go into more examples, but time is going by here. Got a few minutes? Okay, well then we'll do this part. We'll do this part. John Wesley was a very profound leader of the church in the 1700s. And out of him came the Methodist church. Even though he said, don't name a church after me. What would you do as humans? We name churches after people, right? Okay. So, showing the world that we operate on a radically different value system, John Wesley said this, put yourself in the place of every poor man and deal with him as you would have God deal with you. Wesley demonstrated this attitude in his own lifestyle choices. In 1776, the English tax commissioners inspected his tax return and wrote back, "We cannot doubt but you have plate for which you have hitherto neglected to make entry." In other words, he wasn't claiming all of the things that he owned, that he was cheating on his taxes. They assumed that a man of his prominence, and he was a hugely famous man. By the way, he had the audacity of going outside of the church building and preaching the gospel in the streets and country fields and places like that. And so he was shunned by much of the church of the day. But he was extraordinarily famous. I mean, crowds of thousands and thousands and thousands would flock to hear him. And it was said that he could stand in an open field with thousands of people, with obviously without a PA system, right? No electricity, okay. And speak where the person in the very rear could distinctly hear every word he said. Now that's the power of God. Wow. By the way, and signs and wonders followed his ministry everywhere. People don't really realize that about John Wesley. You read his journal, and he didn't even understand what's going on. I mean, people were going in trances and seeing heaven and Jesus, and all kinds of strange stuff was going on. And he didn't even fully understand it, but God was just moving with the preaching of the word. I won't charge any extra for this, by the way. But if you want to see that God really move in signs and wonders, preach the gospel. Evangelize, because God will confirm his word with signs and wonders following, okay? No extra charge for that, just saying. Okay, so back to Wesley. They assumed that a man of his prominence certainly had silver dinnerware in his house, and they wanted him to pay the proper tax on it. Wesley wrote back, "I have 2 silver spoons at London and 2 at Bristol. This is all the plate I have at present, and I shall not buy any more while so many around me are in need of bread." Wow. What a powerful witness. So, I'll close with just this kind of little bit of a peek of the churches in Snohomish County and how we as the church together, including this church, are making a difference in the lives of those in need, glorifying our Father through what? Good works. Good works, don't let it get a bad rap just because we know we're not saved by works. Don't let works fade away. Works are a good thing. You're going to be rewarded for them, by the way, too. I'm just saying, it's the Bible. Okay. So, the church of Snohomish County, this church and others like it, supporting ministries like Hand in Hand and Youth for Christ. Like 60-plus churches who, with their time, treasure, or talent, support the work of the Everett Gospel Mission as we serve about 70 women and children daily and 140 men daily, where about 250,000 meals are served a year. Where churches hold chapel services and preach the gospel to the lost. And people are getting saved and people are getting discipled through the scriptures by people like you coming and sharing Bible study. By the way, we have a need for women Bible study leaders. If anybody is interested, come see me or come see your pastor. He'll make sure you come see me. Okay. So it's like numerous churches supporting the work of Lutheran and Catholic social services. They do a great work in our community. I watch how they labor, and they do it with such wisdom and compassion. People who are homeless and people who are affected by poverty. Like scores of churches hosting, supporting, and serving at cold weather shelters throughout our community. And the cities are Linwood, Edmonds, Monroe, Snohomish, Marysville, Arlington, and Everett, where emergency cold weather shelters are supported and run by the churches of that community. Like the 13 churches that have hosted our Poverty 101 classes, involving people from 64 churches. This includes 577 alumni in our Poverty 101 course. Like local ministerial associations in the city of Mill Creek and Everett and Monroe and Snohomish and Marysville and Arlington and Stanford, working together on the issues of the gospel in their community. Like the Snohomish County Executive's Faith Roundtable. The county executive came to realize that without the church helping on issues of poverty and homelessness, the work can't be done. It can't close. So he looked across, the landscape and said, "We need you, church. Please come meet with us, talk to us, tell us how we can do that." They, in turn, then, as a group, turned to the Everett Gospel Mission and said, we'd like you to take your Poverty 101 class and turn it into a curriculum to train people in churches to become paranavigators, to become the expert in that church and working with people with poverty and affected by homelessness. In turn, the county is paying us on a contract to develop these courses to teach to the churches, to equip the church for the, what? Works of service. See how the kingdom grows when we just do the kingdom work? Now we're affecting county government. Now the Snohomish County Prosecutor's Office asked us to bring Poverty 101 to their employees, which we've done twice, which resulted in the King County Prosecutor's Office, would you come and bring it to us, which results in Monday being bring it to the cities of Mukilteo and Everett, to the city of Marysville. See how the kingdom grows when we do kingdom work together and how God gets glorified? Well, I thought church and state wasn't supposed to work together. Really? Really? Isn't it interesting that the legal arm of the county would ask a faith-based group to come in and teach? Now, we don't preach the gospel there, but they know exactly who we are and where we come from and what our orientation is and what we do. And so the kingdom has influence. And thank you for supporting this church and all that you do, all that God's called you to do. So, nothing will stop the church. Nothing will stop the kingdom. The kingdom is a done deal. Jesus in Revelation declared that the kingdom would become the kingdom of this world would become the kingdom of Christ. It's a done deal. It's just a matter of who's going to step up, who's going to step out, who's going to become part of a local church to be equipped and trained to do the works of service, to glorify our Father which is in heaven, so that the world might come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Who will fully commit? Who will take the time and the effort? It's you folks. And thank you very much, and God bless you.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.